morning.
Good morning.
Scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Lord, bless the reading and the hearing of today's word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I believe that God is doing a new thing in our midst. If you asked, I would say that this is my core theological conviction. I know that God is doing a new thing because the old ways of doing things aren't working any longer. For example, we used to measure church vitality according to the butts in the pews and the bucks in the offering plate. But every single one of our churches has fewer butts in the pews and bucks in the offering plate. Does this mean that every church is being unfaithful in her ministry? I refuse to believe this. So instead, I'm thinking that God is up to some kind of holy mischief in our midst. I confirmed this hunch over the summer when I got the opportunity to interview four pastors in our presbytery that are engaged in the work of shared pastoral ministry, meaning they pastor not one, but two churches. I conducted these interviews for my final project in the certificate that I'm doing in church revitalization. Our assignment was to identify one problem that faces the church today, do some research, and propose a solution. I decided to address the challenge of what is a church to do when they can no longer afford a full-time minister. And I wanted to propose shared pastoral ministry as a viable way forward. But if I'm being totally honest, when I started this project, I was really new at having two churches. So I wanted to interview some experts, shall we say, so I could learn from them. I expected that the pastors that I talked with would talk about shared pastoral ministry as either the last resort of a dying church or as a financial necessity for a church that is just beginning. Instead, every pastor that I interviewed shared with me how sharing a congregation is an exciting, invigorating, faithful response to God at work in our presbytery. By relieving congregations of some of their administrative burdens, congregations are freer to follow God into the unknown. As I was preparing the sermon for this Sunday, I have come to see the parable of the lost sheep as a dramatic reenactment of where the church is in America in the 21st century. Friends, the culture around us has changed more in my lifetime, so in the last 30 years, than it did in the 100 years that preceded it. What I mean by this is that my life at 30 looks very different from what my parents were doing at my age. But my parents, when they were at this age, were basically doing the same thing their parents were doing, and their parents going all the way back to when my ancestors crossed the Atlantic and settled in America. All of this change happening so quickly is causing people to question, what is church? What is the point of it? And what am I doing here? Our parable for this morning suggests, though, that the same God who sought out the church 2,000 years ago, this is the same God that is seeking and finding the church today. I don't think this parable's primary focus is to call the church to repent. Perhaps this parable is inviting the church to let God lead us by the hand into whatever this new thing is. We are lost. We have to let God find us. One of the challenges that all of the pastors talked about when I interviewed them over the summer is this lack of joy within our congregations. Many of them spoke to this lack of joy being the result of fear. Fear that there aren't going to be enough people to volunteer to serve on our boards. That there isn't going to be enough money to fix our buildings as they age. That if the pastor is running around between two congregations, he or she isn't going to have time to do X, Y, or Z. But in our scripture passage for today, we learn that the antidote to fear is joy. This is why the shepherd rejoices when he finds the one lost sheep, or why the woman rejoices when she finds the one lost coin. In the same way, we need to be excited about this new adventure that God is calling us to. And we need to make a big deal when just one person allows God to lead them by the hand. In the life of both of our congregations this morning, we have an opportunity to rejoice over 1, 2, 3 people allowing God to lead them by the hand. At Mount Nebo this morning, we ordained and installed a new officer who is going to fulfill the term of one of our session members who had to step down for health reasons. Here at Glenshaw Valley, we are going to be voting on our 2019 nominating committee. By the grace of God, two members from our congregation have agreed to be part of the team, charged with discerning who God might be calling to serve next year. Also, by the grace of God, members from Session and members from Deacons have agreed to serve. This morning we rejoice because God continues to call women and men to serve the church for particular seasons. We rejoice because God's call on their life confirms our belief that God loves us and God never lets us go either. We rejoice because God continues to call us when we're not ready and when we feel like we have no idea what we're doing. We rejoice because we know that when we don't have enough people willing to serve, our entire community suffers. We rejoice because when one person agrees to step out in faith, we're all better off for it. We rejoice because our God continues to meet our scarcity with abundance. This is how it is in the household of God. I'm sure you've noticed that by this point in Luke's gospel, Jesus has developed a little bit of a reputation for hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. Now, in the first century, tax collectors and sinners is kind of the words that we use to describe the people that no one wanted to hang out with. In the first century, you didn't want to hang out with a tax collector, and you certainly didn't want to hang out with a sinner, for fear that their bad reputation would sully your own. But in our parable for this morning, we learn that God is like the shepherd who values each sheep in his flock, like the woman who accounts for every coin in her purse. God treasures each and every one of us. When one goes missing, God goes into search mode. God is not going to rest until God gathers all of God's children together. Friends, I have no idea what the church of tomorrow is going to look like. And like you, every day I am tempted to give in to the despair when I see less people in worship, less money in the offering plate, or more fights over the color of napkins at our church picnic. But whatever the church of tomorrow looks like, I have hope that the church is going to need women and men willing to be led by God into the unknown, who are okay with the fact that they don't really know what they're doing, who, while they're trying to figure it out, fight to respect one another and assume the best in one another, who can look out into the congregation each and every Sunday morning and think, nothing is impossible with God. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.